I hear two guys talking.
Welcome to the Green Gab Podcast, a place to gab with people rocking it in green. Green homes, green living, and green companies. Join Marla Esser-Close, the green home coach and author of Living Green Effortlessly, Simple Choices to a Better Home, and Tony Pratt, the director of builder relations at The Sound Room. Here are your hosts, Marla and Tony.
On the Green Gab Podcast, and I don't know how many sessions we've been recording at the St. Louis Home and Garden Show this year, but
it's been a few.
This is just, everyone we've done, we're just so amazed how much fun this is.
I think this one's going to be even more fun than we've had so far. I can't wait
for
this
one. Yeah.
I cannot wait for this one.
Oh my gosh. So we have
a treat.
I don't even know if I can call an honor.
Yes.
I got a moniker since we've talked last, Green Jean Ponzi.
There you go.
And when that popped up, it immediately reminded me of my television watching youth with Captain Kangaroo and
Mr. Green Jeans.
I'm dating myself here. And it was a little scary because I am kind of a relentless self-promoter by nature. And so working on behalf of green information and sustainability, that keeps my karma really sound. It's not all about me. It was a little scary, but Green Jean is controllable. I can handle her.
Green, but you are Green Jean. So
I am.
Green Jean or Jean Ponzi. And first of all, I have to let our listeners know, I owe much of where I am today to you.
Aw, shucks, Marla. Come
on. No, I'm serious. You have truly been one of my mentors and my heroes.
Thank you.
And I can't tell you how privileged I feel to have known you and be able to interact with you and work on things with you and with Missouri Botanical Gardens.
Thank you.
And I know Tony feels the same way.
Well, you know, when we were both on the Green Building Council of the HBA, Marla, I always felt like it was kind of send a girl to Boys Town. We were filling that niche. We did our best. And you're hanging in there. Thank you.
Well, and I know, well, now I live in Oklahoma City, so I'm getting to start kind of helping group to grow. So, there's just always more stuff to share.
And Tony Pratt, you have been a leader in many different specificities of the green homes industry and a stalwart of green in the HBA. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's funny because I just remember I was at New Space when the Green Building Council formed.
Uh-huh. Oh my gosh, that's right.
And I was just like, you know what? Let's check this out, because we're starting to see on our side, you know, clients that were coming in with allergies. So we were becoming very aware of, one, air quality, and also we were getting requests for recycled materials.
Mm-hmm.
And we were starting to see the effects of lead on the commercial side coming in. So it's like, you know what? We have products that touch this, so let's really kind of get in there.
And, yeah.
You know, I just got in there, got fascinated with it, and just kind of ran with it. You know, I loved, you know, in those pioneer days, so to speak, where you had a kind of a real cross-section of the big production builder, the custom builder, you know,
the rehabber, the historic rehabber.
Yeah, everybody, whether it was Patty Mahar that was involved in those days.
I haven't talked to her in a while.
I know.
Yep.
But you just had such a wealth of information, not only of traditional, just, you know, the way you would build things, but now you started to walk into that more advanced building science techniques.
Right.
And you got into the philosophy behind sustainability and everything else. And it literally was two worlds colliding.
Okay, so fun trivia fact. I went to the International Builders Show a few months ago, in January of 2017, and the Sustainability and Green Building Subcommittee of the National Associations of Home Builders released a sustainability kit this year. And in that sustainability kit, there is an infographic. And I shared it with Tony the other day, and he about fell out of his seat.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason he about fell out of his seat is because with the National Association of Home Builders Green Certification Program, National Green Building Standards, Missouri was number 9.
Overall.
Great.
Number 4 for single family homes.
Great.
This is the best kept secret.
For certified homes
here in this state.
The NAHB Green Building Standard was an evolution of, you remember this, an yep. adaptation of a green building standard that was developed by the HBA yep. in St. Louis.
Absolutely.
Matt Belcher was key to that.
Yep.
There were other individuals who were really major contributors to that. That was happening at the time when the U.S. Green Building Council's LEED for Homes mm-hmm. had been rolled out. That's kind of how I got yeah. into the whole thing, because the U.S. Green Building Council Missouri Gateway Chapter is a part of the Earthway Center, the part of the Missouri Botanical Garden where I work, and USGBC wanted to have some LEED H advocates, LEED for Homes
right.
advocates.
Yep.
And so I got that job and had worked a couple of home shows with the Gateway Healthy House, bringing green in because of air quality, because of human health protection. And then things just kept coalescing. The standards were evolving. It all kind of came to a screaming pause, not a halt, when the recession hit
right.
in 2009, 2010.
Except but they were the builders that did the best, the ones building green.
Well, you'd hope. And today...
They did, and it's showing out now
yeah,
in the statistics.
Yeah, yeah. After my work with homes and that whole sector, which was a very interesting body of knowledge and learning opportunity for me, I moved on to work with businesses and have been managing a program for the Garden and the St. Louis Regional Chamber, now called the St. Louis Green Business Challenge. We are going into our eighth year of that program, working with companies of all kinds all around the St. Louis area to green up the kind of day-to-day operations that are common to every business. So that's influencing policy, practice,
yeah.
employee engagement, supply chain, and that happened at a very fortuitous time when in the global marketplace there started to be drivers like the GRI, the Global Reporting Index,
yep.
which when Walmart, the world's largest retailer, decided that their suppliers all ought to track and report and set carbon emission reduction targets and achieve those goals and document what they were doing, that took everything up a notch in the business sector. So when I started doing this green stuff back in the early 1990s, I like to say it was fluffy, hippy-dippy, expensive, and hard to find. And now it's mainstream. It pays its way. It's really making connections with human health considerations, with, of course, environmental protection considerations, but also with job evolution, the renewable energy sector, the green
yeah.
infrastructure sector of landscaping. Our Metropolitan Sewer District here in St. Louis is really investing in grants to property owners to incorporate plant-based strategies, Missouri Botanical
Woo!
Garden at your service, to capture and hold stormwater. And that doesn't put the concrete guys out of work, but it leverages in a whole other industry sector, the landscape and nursery industry sector, where there are a lot of jobs and a lot of new
there
skills
yep.
to be built and marketed. So this green stuff has really grown strong roots. It ebbs and flows in some places, but I'm really very proud and grateful to have been a part of that.
So many companies and organizations are now getting it that this is good business.
Yes, yes.
And the Shelton Group recently released a new study showing that the public cares.
Yes.
And this is new news. We've just hit this tipping point this past year in 2016, really.
Oh, I think it's been longer ago.
Well,
that's
what
that
you're saying
research,
was the
right.
tipping point, when we went from just very slow, steady
yeah.
growth to a big jump.
Yeah.
And the statistics behind that are really impressive. So there's a huge push right now to help people understand the good business sense
yes.
of making these kinds of choices. And you know, part of what my personal passion has become and fueled a lot by what you and I have intersected
yep.
on over the years and what Tony and I have intersected on is helping homeowners and residents to understand that, hey, you too can do this.
Right.
You too can have this kind of
right.
great business sense, air quotes,
right.
around how you make choices in your home and your life. You don't have to just do it at work. Bring it home. Bring it home.
Well, and let's face facts, too. You know, Eric Schneider was on a previous episode talking about the challenge as well. And he also referenced Walmart.
Yeah.
Now, we all know Walmart, corporatist, you know, mentality. They're looking at it, shareholders, and making sure their margins are in line. So if they find actual return on investment and value mm-hmm. and are really promoting a lot of this stuff and doing a lot of work, what we would consider sustainable or green practices,
yeah.
well, then you know they have to be mainstream, plain and simple.
Right.
Well, the
Walmart's
funniest
doing
part,
it, everybody should.
So early days, Walmart was kind of the one that the environmentalists
yeah, exactly.
like to pick on, and they've been truly a leader in many ways, and especially in the retail, you know, rethinking what green and sustainability can mean to a business. So I find that kind of ironic.
Well, one of the things, Eric Schneider, my colleague in the Green Business Challenge, he just popped up, his photo just popped up talking to you guys in a previous Green Gab. One of the things that we're very committed to at the Earth Waste Center is we deal with mainstream concepts. We want to tell our audience, whether that's homeowners, whether that's businesses, whether that's school children and teachers, or college professors and college students, college administrators, stuff that they can get, in many cases, off the shelf, stuff that is going to be practical, as well as stuff that is really innovative. And there are, you know, you can put on a list with the St. Louis Green Business Challenge. We have a scorecard. It's like the LEED rating system or the NAHB Green Homes rating system. You put all the green you shoulds, you coulds on a list, put it in categories, give it point values, and then you can check off. And therefore, you can strategize. You can plan. You can take this
giant maw of
green you should and you could and make it doable, you know. You can do this part. You do this part. We'll do this year, and then maybe invest in that next year. It's a very important way to make green work in a practical way. And that's what we are all about at the Earth Waste Center. If it's not practical, people aren't going to do it.
And not only that,
exactly.
I'm giving them that checklist, that scorecard.
The knowledge.
You're making it easy. You're doing the thinking for them.
Yes.
So we're getting into some great stuff here. But let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back to Gab's Morning.
Everyone's wanted to start a blog, but who wants to start one all on your own? Take your interest in creating a blog to the next level by getting bit by the Blogger's Bug. Blogger's Bug is a blogging community that allows you to polish your blogging skill set today. Log on today at bloggersbug.com and get bit by the Blogger's Bug. bloggersbug.com. That's bloggersbug.com.
Looking for a straightforward user interface and a cost-effective, feature-filled multi-track recording software? Call off the search! Mixcraft from Acoustica has exactly what you're looking for. It's time to include reliable audio creation and editing software with real punch into your projects. Check out Mixcraft now over at acoustica.com/mixcraft and start a new generation of audio creation and editing today.
Conspiracies, by definition, require more than one person to be involved. A rally at the new Two Guys Talking podcast studio has finally made it happen. Two Guys Talking is proud to announce a new program on the Two Guys Talking podcast network. Conspiracy Agents, which will provide outstanding conspiracy and mystery-based content that will bring yet another flavor of podcast-based ice cream to the Two Guys Talking Network. Check it all out now at conspiracyagents.com as another new year of captured perspective here at Two Guys Talking begins. That's conspiracyagents.com. Conspiracyagents.com.
So Gavin, Green Gene of Earth Waste Center and Missouri Botanical Garden here in St. Louis, which one of our treasures, one of our many treasures in St. Louis.
It's lovely in all seasons.
There you go.
And here we are in the middle of the country, in the middle of, you know, the Midwest, where nobody cares about this stuff, right? Yet it seems like we're the hidden leader of a lot of this, of green building.
Yeah, we've got a lot of well-kept secrets here.
We do.
A lot of good opportunities to make them public.
Well, and the cool thing about it is, on the coast, it's mandated. But here, it's voluntary for the
exactly.
most part.
Exactly, yeah.
And
exactly.
Earth Waste Center has been a
forefront,
huge part
at the forefront.
Of that. I know we want to make sure we share with both our Facebook Live audience as well as our podcast audience a little bit more about Earth Waste Center. So
Okay, so Earthway Center is the sustainability division of the Missouri Botanical Garden. It's pretty unusual that a garden will have a whole sustainability division.
Yes.
I mean, you think about horticulture, education, institutional advancement. We, in the same way that the Missouri Botanical Garden has a science and conservation division that is an internationally respected leader in botanical research and plant conservation, we're really quite well respected around the country for our sustainability work. We've helped the American Public Gardens Association develop sustainability guidelines for other kinds of gardens. Because we are educators, because we're a nonprofit, we've been able to partner with organizations like the Home Builders Association in St. Louis and help develop audience, help develop customer base for what you're doing. We're not competing in that business.
Yeah.
And that's an advantage that we've really, I think, made good use of, and we've been able to work in a lot of sectors and in partnership with a lot of different kinds of business and community sectors over the years and continue to do that.
I love it. Green Homes Festival is one of the ones that pops to mind that y'all have been hosting for years.
It's always 1 year younger than the year. So the 16th annual Green Homes Festival will be on Saturday, June 4th this year, and it's at the Garden. And what distinguishes the Green Homes Festival from other environmental events is it focuses just on stuff for the home. So we try to populate that festival with exhibitors. We try to have somebody solar, somebody new home building, somebody rehab, plumbing, HVAC, windows, interior design, landscaping. We try to have home cleaning. We try to have something from all of those elements that go into making your home a sustainable place, maintaining your home sustainably. And we always like to say you can bring your project ideas to this event and talk to the experts in our area. And people do. We have children's activities. Some years, we may do this again this year, we paint a metro bus with an eco mural as part of it. It's a festival, but it is a great learning opportunity. We have presentations to the people, which are short little chalk talks about subject matter that ranges from what makes an energy audit work, to how could solar work on your home, to how can you double up the solar energy on your home with your electric car, to how can you transform invasive bush honeysuckle from a problem into artisan tables, and what else can we do with too much of that stuff. It's a wonderful learning opportunity that is really a lot of fun. June 4th, 2017 at the Missouri Botanical Garden, and that is a free event.
Give me a website for that real quick, because we're going to sign off of Facebook Live, and I want to make sure everybody knows how to get there.
That is mobot.org, M-O-B-O-T, or missouribotanicalgarden.org/greenhomesfest.
And we'll make sure to get this posted up a few weeks before the Green Homes Festival, so folks, both the podcast too.
Great.
But for those people, you know, checking us out right now, the Facebook Live will be out there. And we tagged you in it, so you couldn't find it.
Thank you.
You know, the Green Homes Festival is probably the thing that comes to mind the most, but there's a lot of other things that you guys do. And there's the Energy Wall is here at the St. Louis Home Show.
That's right. That's one of our most visible and certainly our largest public education thing, the wall. That was designed and built actually first for a home show. And it is four by eight. Panels, plywood panels, that looks like the wall of a house. And it has examples of all the things in a building envelope that can leak. It has can lighting. It has windows. It has doors. It has tiny little corners that might not be insulated really well. And it demonstrates and illustrates right there when you're talking to the energy experts. You use the term building science, Tony Pratt. The ecology of a building where all of the elements of your home work together as an integrated whole. So just like in your body, you got your circulatory system, your musculoskeletal system, your reproductive system. They all do their unique jobs, but they have to work together as a whole.
Synergistically.
So in your home, you've got the building envelope, you've got plug load, you've got HVAC, and they all have to work together for a high-performance building.
Right.
And when you do an energy audit using the principles of whole building science, you're not just walking through with a clipboard going, you should change your light bulbs. You're evaluating whether the ducts leak. You're evaluating the air circulation and the leakage in the house, and you're able to pinpoint where the weak points are.
Right.
And an energy auditor that uses those principles of whole building science will give you, the homeowner, a report that is detailed, that prioritizes the best return on your investment when you're going to make energy efficiency improvements. Then you can budget for that.
An investment.
You can use incentives. You can use utility incentives. We now have pace financing in the St. Louis area.
Yep, and they're here at the show.
Property assessed, clean energy. I see the HERO program from St. Louis County right over there, where you can get loans to underwrite these kinds of efficiency improvements that are not tied to your credit score. They're tied to the value of your home.
Right. And so I'm going to restate this because I want to make sure our listeners get this.
Yeah.
The PACE program is a way to help pay for the things you know you need to do to your home, but you may not have the availability of traditional credit or a traditional loan process.
Right.
It's available in California, Florida, and now Missouri.
Yep.
I don't know the status of other states, but it's one of many financing arms.
Yes.
And I always send everybody to the Desire database to look for incentives, rebates, and financing options in your locale, because this lists by state, and it's Desire without the E, so DSIREUSA.org.
The database of state incentives for renewables and efficiency.
There
yes.
you go.
Yes. It's a great tool. It's not double dipping to make use of utility incentives. Here in St. Louis, we have incentives from Ameren, our power company, that will underwrite the cost or that will help offset the cost of updating your heating and air conditioning system. If you are installing a certain level of SEER rating, a certain level of efficiency in your AC system, our gas company has those kinds of incentives. We don't have renewable energy incentives available at a utility level yet, but we still do have the federal 30% renewable energy tax credit. Energy advisor, whether that's an auditor or whether that's the efficiency company or the renewable energy company that you have come in to do the work, what we do at Earthway Center is we try to help all those professionals understand these resources, these ins and outs, so that the homeowner can make the best use of the entire package that's available to them at any given time.
And this is how we get a home that not only looks good, but performs well.
And you can have your granite countertops. Yes, indeed you can. And your solid gold toilet. And you can have energy efficiency,
there
too.
There you go.
Isn't that a thing now, golden toilets?
I think it is.
You know, an investment, Marla, it's an investment. Think of the things that we invest in that we're not sure about the return on them. Like sending your kid to college. You hope. You do your best, but when you invest in things like energy efficiency for your home, because of advances in the real estate profession, because of advances in the whole home building profession, the value of that investment will pay back to you when you go eventually to sell that home, and it pays back on lower utility bills for you every month.
Money is, of course, something that's always on our minds, but you're going to be more comfortable. You're going to have a healthier home. You're going to have a happier place to come home to.
Right.
And I think we all get so caught up in the money conversation that we kind of forget that money is just an enabler.
Right.
But having programs that help us to enable those kinds of positive activities in our life.
Right.
Oh my gosh. That's the holy grail, right? Yes, that's really awesome.
Just going to be happier in general.
So building comfort, can I give you a personal anecdote about building comfort?
Oh yeah.
That's a really big thing that whole building science and green home building provides is a more comfortable environment. We like to promote the low tech, the lower cost, as well as the no cost behavioral options at Earthway Center, in addition to the more big ticket investments and improvements. One of those things is a reflective roof, a white roof. One of my dreams in St. Louis and the city of St. Louis with all of our flat roofs is that we will have a cool roof initiative. My house was built partly in the late 1860s and then had an addition put on it in the 30s and 40s. And that addition faces south and it has a flat roof. And in 2012, which was the last really super hot spring we had, this one may surpass it, my husband said, I think we should have our flat roof painted white. So we did that. Now, we do not use air conditioning in my home. We replaced HVAC unit in part of my house last year, took advantage of an Ameren incentive, and we could use AC, but we're kind of Luddites, we're kind of diehards, and I love it in July when I say that because of the looks of horror on people's faces. But in May of 2012, when we had a consistent run of 80 to 90 degree days, knowing everything I know about energy efficiency, painting that one roof on the south side of my house white, the difference in comfort was astounding.
Really?
It
wow.
blew me away. We have high ceilings, we have good air circulation, we use our ceiling fans, but without even air conditioning, the difference in comfort was amazing. With that one thing, paint your roof white.
And that's how those buildings were built. High roofs to let the heat escape out the top, bring the cool air in the bottom.
Yep.
And you were taking advantage of that architecture, which is wonderful.
And now we have all the advances in LED lighting, color temperature, types of lighting. One of the businesses we work with in the Green Business Challenge, the Contemporary Art Museum of St. Louis, redid all of their exhibit lighting with LEDs last year.
It's a no-brainer.
That is a very highly specialized kind of lighting. It looks great, it's inexpensive, and it doesn't add to your heating load.
Right, which is the key thing most people kind of forget about. Oh my gosh, we have
so
much more.
I
know, we have so much more to go.
Advancing in this.
We'll be right back.
Wouldn't it be cool if your advertising could last forever? It can with perpetual advertising. Here's how it works. Unlike TV or radio ads, where every instance the ads are broadcast, they're only played once and lost forever. Perpetual advertising can have repeat exposure and replayability weeks, months, and even years after they're inserted in a podcast. So even if a podcast is a few years old, your ads will still be impactful to repeat listeners, as well as new listeners. This gives your advertising dollar the most bang for the buck. Find out more about perpetual advertising at twoguystalking.com/sponsors.
24 Legacy features a new hero, a new day, a completely new cast, but also tons of new 24 fans. It's time to participate with all of them over at 24legacyfans.com. That's 24legacyfans.com.
Thought about a career in voiceover? Need a great, cost-effective on-hold message for your organization or business? Don't know where to start? Check out The Voice Farm, your one-stop shop for voiceover needs. Check it out now by accessing The Voice Farm at voicefarmers.com and see what difference can be made with a company that is truly outside the box. From The Voice Box, voicefarmers.com. That's voicefarmers.com.
Well, I don't know if I can get enough gabbing with Green Jean today.
Not in 30 minutes.
I know, but we have been just fantasizing about having you come on the podcast, so we're so excited you're here.
When we first started thinking who was going to come on here months and months and months ago, your name was always at the top.
So we're so excited you're here. We get everything about your house experience.
The time we had an energy audit in my house, we got to be a training client for the Home Performance with Energy Star program.
Oh, wow.
And so there were 7 or 8 auditors all going around our house with their little thingies. And one of their little thingies was like the beep, 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 beep in Ghostbusters where the spud comes out and blasts Bill Murray. They all had their little beep, 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 beep. And one of them got a dead squirrel out of our attic. That was very thoughtful.
Oh, wow.
It was, you know, benefit. Fits all the way around. And we found out that the parts of our house that we had renovated and air sealed and insulated to the nth degree, including windows, we installed those ourselves, were performing just as well or better than we thought they were. So it was very gratifying.
Well, that's
there
nice.
Wow.
It's always good to know that, yes, I put it in with a plan, and that plan actually came to fruition.
Okay, so plants?
Plants. Okay. And plants... People forget that plants not only can look beautiful and do all kinds of other wonderful things, which you're going to help us with, they can contribute to your home being more energy efficient. And I just don't think people think about that.
Right, right. A shade tree, a good sturdy shade tree on the south or the west side of your house is a very important investment in energy efficiency. There is an electric co-op in a city in Iowa, I can't remember what it was, I read this in a book about trees, that has incorporated investments in trees into that community, into their energy budgeting.
Wow.
And, you know, people get weird about trees sometimes. They think, oh, it's a dirty tree. It's dropping pods on my sidewalk. And there are some trees that are messier than others. But if you're going to plant a tree, plant an oak, not a pin oak. They're not the best choice for here. But put that shade tree in the part of your yard where it's going to really help make your home more comfortable and biodiversify your property. And this is where I wanted to go with plants and green infrastructure. This is the plant profession, the world of plants, being harnessed to capture stormwater where it falls and prevent stormwater runoff. This is workhorses, and they are native plants, the ones that have co-evolved with our insect life and our soil type and our climatic conditions and our seasonality. This is using the ecology of native plants as an infrastructure investment in a whole community that can help protect water quality. It can help minimize the necessity for ratepayer investments in serious upgrades to aging sewer infrastructures. Yep. It will bring beneficial insects and more birds, and it'll get your kids off, maybe off their digital thingies and out there to connect with nature. It's a win-win-win when you start looking at how nature and ecology really works, like whole building science. All mm-hmm. the parts work together in an integrated whole, and incorporating that into human projects and human planning. Thank you, plants.
Well, and they're so vital. I mean, God, they serve so many purposes. Of course, you guys are the Missouri Botanical Garden.
Yeah, well, we
they're a little biased on this.
We're kind of biased on it. Our parking lot, when we redid our parking lot, maybe it was about 10 years ago, it was at the time to have to resurface, and we decided that we would do that parking lot renovation to demonstrate green infrastructure. So our whole east lot was regraded so that the water sheets down from the highest point into a giant bioswale, two rows of parking spaces, prime parking spaces, and you know what it's like in St. Louis. If
yes.
you can't get parking close,
right.
you're not going to go. That big bioswale in the middle of that lot captures and holds the stormwater that sheets down into it. We also have porous concrete, porous asphalt, a 9-block-long porous rubber sidewalk along Alfred Avenue, our western border. But of all those different strategies, the one that works the best is the plant-based strategy, is the rain gardens and the bioswale.
Nice.
In terms of performance, and we've been partnering with Southern Illinois University Edwardsville to do some research on actual stormwater capture, so that goes beyond anecdotal evidence of our horticulturists.
Well, and now that I've moved to Oklahoma City, which we're in drought, capturing rainwater, it becomes a whole different elevation of a topic.
Yeah, for different reasons, too.
So when we started working on our landscape, we hired a company that does urban prairie renewals. So we've got to redo everything because of the crazy weather this year. But it was wonderful to get connected with what we can do that's going to bring the biodiversity into our yard, and that's going to help our yard be easier to take care of because it's not all stuff brought in from the tropics.
And the knowledge base about that in the horticulture industry, in what's called the green industry, which is landscapers, designers, maintenance companies, plant growers, wholesalers, retailers, the whole spectrum of plant-related industry, there is so much business opportunity there to build that knowledge base with native plant landscaping, whether it's xeriscaping, extremely drought-tolerant, or prairie landscaping, or rainscaping is what we call all that stormwater capture. It's an opportunity to build those skills and then market that maintenance. It's going to be a better business deal than cutting grass ever was, because it enlivens property. It enlivens community. It isn't just flushing your dollars down the old Kohler convenience of a sterile landscape.
It's a never-ending cycle.
True.
Yeah.
I know every spring I have, in my little plot of land in St. Anne, I have 11 trees around it. You know, now my pride and joy right now is in full bloom. I have two giant magnolia trees on the front of the house.
Oh, hasn't this been a beautiful year for
magnolia? Oh, it has. But when we get off air, I'll show you my pictures because I took a couple of them.
Good.
But they're gorgeous. But the nice thing about it is once their blooms are done and the regular leaves are out, it's the best shade I could ever have.
Yes, very
deep. And it helps
shade.
To keep the very front of the house totally ensconced in shade.
Yep.
You're talking water conservation here. My colleague Richard Riley, who is Earthways representative to the Green Building Council of the HBA of St. Louis. Yes. He's been doing some research on water conservation. One of his factoids here, the little leaks from household faucets. The US EPA estimates that 10,000 gallons a year is lost from the average household in leaks. If your toilet leaks, if your hose bibs are leaking, if you just need a new washer on something. And when you multiply that 10,000 gallons a year times 1.2 million households just in the St. Louis area, you're talking about billions of gallons of water lost. Here, that's 1 cent a gallon.
Right.
Where you are, Marla, in a drought-stricken area or in a state like California, the water rates there are astronomical, and the lack of water is a serious problem. So finding the leaks and fixing them in your water systems as well as your energy systems really pays back in so many ways.
And they're all interrelated. Now, just like you were saying earlier with all the systems being interrelated. And you know, your energy systems oftentimes also affect your indoor air quality.
Yes.
Because if something's well sealed, you're not going to get all the dust and the
right
insects and the nasties in. And how you position your home on your lot and take
yes
advantage of the orientation and the plants and the native wild
the biodiversity
wildlife and the biodiversity
of your property. Biodiversify your property.
All of that's
get
related.
Nature out there.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And I think probably one of the joys that I'm finding the longer I'm in this industry is that we really kind of have this opportunity to knit together wonderful technology, wonderful, just practical, common sense
yeah
things and
yeah
advice with out-of-the-box thinking. And we get to knit it all together in different ways that work for an individual, how they live in their homes, how their individual home is affected by where it is, what community is, what climate it's in, and all of that can be accounted for because we have this humongous basket of knowledge
right
to draw from.
Right.
No two have to be alike because we have so many options.
Yes. And great public-private partnerships between
oh, yeah
the Missouri Botanical Garden, the Home Builders Association mm-hmm of St. Louis, between the business community and a program like our St. Louis Green Business Challenge, continuing to educate young humans in schools with green schools programs and with sustainability programs
yep
in colleges. And a very important thing that we still need to do more of is making these kinds of resources available in parts of community where money is scarce and where it's much more of a pressing problem as your kid going to live through the week than if you're recycling a can.
Right.
So we have that social justice
yep
leg of the three-legged stool of sustainability, the triple bottom line, human, natural, and capital resources, and a lot of opportunities to develop jobs that may be manual labor jobs, again, landscape mm-hmm maintenance, energy, air sealing, that kind of thing, that can keep jobs in the local area, that can train more people, that can increase quality of life and human health along with environmental health.
It's so funny you say that because I was visiting with a lady just right before you came in who was talking about getting involved to help young people understand mm-hmm the value of the trades
oh,
and
absolutely
how important they
yes
are to our entire yes,
it's critical, and that's
yeah
the biggest challenge we have right now. I mean, very few people understand we have been in a, you know, just a depressed labor market where it's a scarcity of labor since 2012 in the trades. Builders have backlogs.
Mm-hmm.
It takes 6-7 months now for a lot of production builders to build a track home.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
whoa,
from the time they write the contract to the time it's closed
yeah
is about 6 or 7 months now.
Yeah. Our partners in the trade unions, our partners in the trades and those skill sets, those are very important partnerships to continue to cultivate training at the community college level.
Yeah.
One of my good friends is retiring from teaching shop at
oh,
Washington
wow
High School. That's going to be a great loss in that district.
Well, you know,
reviving those skills.
The jobs in the trades, too, they're good incomes.
Mm-hmm.
They're good incomes for people that don't want to sit in an office all
yeah
day. If you could tell somebody that's 22 years old that really doesn't want to go to college that, hey, if you go in the trades, you're going to be making $40,000 to $60,000 in a few years.
I'm really good at screwing off drywall. Do you think I could have that as a backup crew? That's
you
the only thing I can
to
do is, you know, I can screw off with drywall.
Removal.
There you go.
Repair and removal.
Oh, my gosh. I could sit here all day, but I'm not sure all of our listeners could.
You
tell
know,
our listeners how to get a hold of you guys if they're in St. Louis or if they're online.
Sure, sure. Thanks, Marla. Green makes sense. Sustainability makes sense. It is understanding how things work. It's being able to deal with a few complex variables, not just one thing at a time, not just if then. It is efficient. If there's waste in your home, if there's waste in your system, that's where the green opportunity is. That's usually an opportunity to save a little moolala, a little folding green too. It's a skill generator, a job generator, and when you talk about connecting people to nature, whether that's nature around their homes or the oak tree that makes your home more energy efficient, that's good for everyone's mental and physical health. And bugs too.
So a happy home.
And plants.
Everybody.
For all.
Really. Thank you very much.
And how do we find you guys?
You can find the Earthway Center of Missouri Botanical Garden at missouribotanicalgarden.org earthway.com/sustainability, or just Google Earthway Center. You'll find us. We've been around for a while. We pop
up.
You
have been around for a while.
One of the things that I do as a volunteer, this dovetails with my job, but it actually is my longest running job, is my podcast now, my show Earthworms from Community Radio in St. Louis. It is a conversation every week about something having to do with sustainability with people who are local, regional, national, international. I like to have it be inspiring and useful, and you can find that at earthworms.kdhx.org.
Thank you.
My pleasure. I don't often get to be the subject.
Green Jean Ponzi, folks, my hero. Thank you.
An icon.
Thank you, Marla.
So much.
Thank you very much, Marla and Tony.
Oh, love it.
Thanks for
coming
on, Jean.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Green Gab Podcast and for joining us on our own personal Green Odyssey as we change the world one Green Gab podcast at a time. What did you learn about during this episode? Tell us now by visiting our website at greengabpodcast.com. And remember to connect with us via iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter. The links to do all of this are at our website, greengabpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, but more importantly, thanks for rocking it in green.